reading for this morning's message is from Romans 8, starting in verse 26 through to 39. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You know, those words, that verse is so strong. And it just led me, today I want to dwell basically work around verse 28 of that reading, but that'll come to light no doubt as we work our way through this morning's what the Lord has laid in my heart. And I think at this present time it's important that we remember that nothing can harm us. We are safe in His hands, and nothing can snatch us out of His hands. And the Father's hands are stronger than His, and nothing can snatch us out of the Father's hands. So let's just come before the Lord before I bring the message. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We can depend upon Your word. And Lord, Your word tells us that nothing returns void from us studying and reading Your word. Holy Spirit, we ask that You just clear our minds and speak to each of us as individuals, because You've got something different to say to each one of us. There's different areas of our lives which we need Your intercession in, to correct us, to rebuke us, and to train us, and to make us into the people that the Father wants us to be, into the likeness of His Son, Jesus. So, Lord, I just pray that You'll be with me this morning, that You'll just take away any fear that I may have, and just enable me to deliver this word with Your power and with Your strength. And I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I say, in these times when people, we're all struggling, I think, to understand what's going on with this pandemic and how long it'll all last and how long these restrictions are going to last. Okay, they've been lifted slightly and people are still not sure whether the government's done the right thing and lifting them too soon. You know, we don't know what's going on, but the Lord knows exactly what is going on. And the thing that I want to ask is, how as Christians should we be acting or reacting to this situation? How can we as Christians help those who don't have the same assurance that we have, those that don't know the Lord? How can we help them to cope? Well, I believe that there is only one remedy to our problem and to their problem. It's the same problem that we've all got. And the only answer to that problem is our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we have read the letter from Apostle Paul to the Romans, that all things work together for the good of those who love him. Now it's important that we take note of what Paul made quite clear in that reading, that this promise applies to those who know and love him. You must know the Lord, you must trust the Lord to be able to claim that promise. We as Christians have been given the Great Commission, as we can read in Matthew 28, reading from 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Now, just as the Apostle Paul was passionate to introduce people to Jesus in his day, are we not called to be just as passionate as he was? Whenever we get a piece of good news, now it might be about promotion at work, it could be about a new birth in a family, a new car, a new TV, or even redecorating the room, anything, we're usually bursting to get someone to talk to share that with and give that news, our news, spread it out to them. Why then do we find it so difficult to do the same about spreading the news of Jesus to people? Why do we feel, and I know at times that I am as guilty as everybody else, at times we feel inadequate. We might feel a little bit embarrassed, you know, but we've got to get over that and just deal with the situation. But I'll leave you to think about that. But I want you to remember an important verse that Jesus himself said in Matthew 10 and 33. "But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." Now that is quite a serious verse. And it's a verse that I think we as Christians need to take ownership of and remember. The Apostle Paul, well, when you read his testimony, he's got no worries on that score. He was not afraid to spread the good news about Jesus, no matter what the cost to him was. And if you want to find out just how much he was willing to risk and what cost he paid, you can find it all if you read through the Gospel of Acts, where you can read about the floggings, the many floggings he was subjected to, the shipwrecks that he went through, the terms of imprisonment that he suffered. And he done it all with joy in his heart and giving thanks to the Lord. If we look at verse 26 of what we've just read this morning, what it says and what it does not say of God, what it does not say is that everything will work out just as we would like it to if we wait long enough for it to happen. It does not say that we can make things work out by positive thinking. It doesn't say that there's no point in what we do because God pulls the strings. What it does say is that God is in control and he will intervene to ensure that his will is done. So we have no cause to worry about anything because we can rely on his promise in verse 28, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. That's our assurance. Where God is concerned, that is our assurance. As the chorus that we all know so well goes, nothing is impossible for thee. If we had a bad day yesterday, and I'm sure we've all had bad days from time to time, when we felt lost and alone, and we felt distress, Paul's speaking of his own experiences assures us that although it might seem to us at the time that we are going through bad days, that the bad times, and there are bad things that we will endure, and they will remain bad things. But with God, God remains good all things and at all times. He is never bad. He has got no sin. There's no sin in him. We've still got sin in us. That's why we've got bad times. And we can be bad people at times. But there is no badness in him. He is more capable of using those situations that we feel bad and injured and hurt in to prepare us for his purpose. And he has a purpose for each one of us. As we read in that favourite old messenger from him in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future." You know, that is one of the beautiful promises, and it's one of the promises that I hold close to my heart. And you've heard me quote it many times, I know. It's like a broken record, as my father used to say. But it is one that I really think gives me a lot of hope when I'm feeling down and despair. And I read that and I know that the Lord has got plans for me and plans to prosper me and not to harm me. And whatever I'm going through, it's only going to be for a short time. Now, it doesn't matter if that short time is another 5 years, or if God willing, or 2 days, because I know where the final destination is, and I've got that assurance because his plan for me and his future for me, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm looking forward to the arrival when I will be with him, and that's the future I'm looking forward to. But let's just look at verse 28. We know all things work together for good. Now, how do we know that? Well, we have inside knowledge, do we not? Because we've got the Holy Spirit working in each one of us and helping us to understand all the things in his word. Everything we know he explains to us. There is no exceptions. He opens up. It's what we choose to close out that he can't get through to us. But if we open ourselves up to him, he will open up everything and no exceptions to us. And in working together, as I've just read in Jeremiah, it's all part of his one plan, and his plans are perfect. Not like our plans. Men can make plans, but remember, it's the Lord who directs the steps. He is the one who makes the perfect plans. And for good, working together for good. If we know the Lord as our Lord and Savior, what can we lose? We're on a win-win. There is no loss, because as I've said, our final destination is secure. As I previously stated, there is a qualification for that promise that we've just read in verse 28. And it applies to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. With that clause in mind, I would suggest that it should reinforce our passion and our resolve to take our part in the Great Commission seriously and to share the gospel with those that the Lord will send across our path in his coming weeks and months. And not to be embarrassed, to be proud to be called sons and daughters of the living God. Because yes, Jesus died, but the good news is that he rose again and he now sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for each one of us. So I hope that that hasn't bored you. I know it's like teaching people to suck eggs, as it were, but you know, the Lord just laid that on my heart this morning. That's what he told me. And I'm sure that there is something in there for each one of us to take hold of and to work on in the coming weeks. So let's just come together in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that all your plans work together for good for everyone who knows and loves you as their Father. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to bless us as a fellowship and enable us to continue in our work in the Great Commission and to promote your Son, the gospel of Jesus, in this village of ours and throughout the wider world through the various connections we have with your organizations and mission fields throughout the world, Lord. Lord, you are a gracious God, and we just pray that you will just heal our nation, Lord. Get our nation down on our knees and asking for you to intercede in this present plague. It is really, they call it a virus, but it's no difference in the plagues in the New Testament, Lord. And the only way that they were ever ended was whenever you said to your angel, your death angel, that's enough. So, Lord, we ask that this country would do the same, and that, Lord, you would be gracious enough to tell your death angel that that's enough. And Lord, we just give ourselves to you because we trust in you and we know that you work to good for all of us. Our hope and our future is in you, and we are secure in you. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.